Reunion Part 4, Genesis chapter 46 and verse 1 to 34. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had by himself purged our sins, was ascended to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, the blessed fellowship of the Godhead, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in heaven, was once again visibly observed. This time, the Son ascended to heaven with a physical body after his work of redemption was completed on earth. We observe the fullness of joy in the Godhead in eternity past to eternity future. The origin of biblical joy is traced to the Godhead in the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22 to 31, it is given to us that blessed joy relationship, the blessed union of the Father-Son relationship. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. The Lord Jesus Christ was with the Father before the beginning of time. In the beginning of no beginnings, he was there with the Father. In fact, he was the architect. He was the builder. He was the creator of all things. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. The blessed relationship between the Father and the Son, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. So before that relationship in the creation, when God made man in his own image, the only other creatures that has the attributes of God himself, he wanted to impart that joy, that love relationship that the Godhead shared to us. There is not a Bible text more impressive of the eternal, personal, divine relationship between the Father and the Son than Proverbs 8 verse 30. It was a picture of infinite joy. Then I, Christ the Son, wisdom, was by him, God the Father, as one brought up, the master workman or the architect, with him, God the Father, and I, Christ the Son, was daily his, God the Father's delight, rejoicing always before him. The literal translation of that verse 30, then I was by or beside or before him as master workman or architect. The Father loved the Son always with an infinite love. Jesus was both the object and the subject of infinite love, and the Son was enjoying a relationship of absolute delight with the Father, and vice versa, because He is the Father's only begotten Son. The word only begotten means not created, but in eternal coexistence with the Father. In the beginning of no beginnings, in the end of no ends, He was ever in His Father's bosom. It speaks of the New Testament doctrine of the unbroken communion between the Father and the Son. And the Son did always those things that please the Father. That was that relationship. And when Jesus came upon the earth, the Father testified from heaven at the baptism of Jesus by John the baptizer at the Jordan River. And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And at the transfiguration of Jesus, while He was yet speak, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Proverbs 8 verse 30, part B says, "And I, Christ the Son, was daily His delight," His, God the Father's delight, "rejoicing always before Him." The word delight described the fellowship in the Godhead between the Father and the Son. The Son was rejoicing always with the Father. And the participle rejoicing is the root word to laugh or to celebrate. It is an instinctive state of lively delight. It refers to a strong expression of joy. Always is literally daily, from day to day, moment to moment. The fellowship between the Father and the Son was a state of matchless happiness, intimacy, clearness, dearness, and oneness. It was a state of pure, unmixed, greatest delight. It was a relationship that depicted our relationship with God as the children of God. This is the kind of relationship God wants us to enjoy, that deep fellowship, that joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, my delights will be the Son of Man. As the workman, Jesus' joy was consummated with the completion of the dwelling place of man and man himself. Man was the last and noblest work of creation. Christ's delight was in fellowship with men, and my delights were with the sons of men. Proverbs 8 verse 31 says, and there is not a verse that is more expressive of the conveying of the impartation of this joy from Jesus Christ to men. True joy is found in its source in that fellowship, when we have fellowship with Christ, the fellowship of the Godhead is brought upon earth so that we may understand and enjoy that communion, that fellowship. The word delight means the object and subject of love. This delight characterized the love relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And it is the same word that described the love relationship between the Son and the prize jewel of His creation, men, we, made in His image. That is why when men went astray and no longer acknowledged their Creator, it brought such grief to the Father in heaven. Jesus is the source of true joy. Jesus is the source of this, the joy of living. Why so? Well, joy is the byproduct of life with God, you see. The fellowship with God brings joy, and joy is not found by seeking it as an end itself, but is given by God when men acknowledge Jesus by believing His life-giving word. So the psalmist says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16, verse 11. "Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased." Psalm 4, verse 7. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Psalm 36, verse 8. Joy in the earthly life of Joseph was cut short when he was cruelly taken away from his father. For Jacob, Joseph's disappearance and apparent death was the greatest blow to his life after the death of Rachel, his beloved wife. That separation was allowed by God for a greater good, to save the entire family of Israel. You see now why Joseph was sent ahead, albeit by trickery, by cruel betrayal from the brothers. When God the Father sent the Son to enter human history, His atoning work upon the cross, Jesus cried out when He was upon the cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When Jesus went to the cross, He was our sin bearer. Him who knew no sin, God has made to be sin for us. And my sin, your sin, their sin was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God is holy. God cannot look upon sin. God the Father turns His eyes, His face from sin as His Son bore them all. John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." There is a deep mystery in our Lord's words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was that love relationship, as we saw, between the Father and the Son, that blessed communion. Why did He say that? What caused the separation? In those 6 hours when He was bearing our sins upon the cross, it caused that separation. It is not just the bodily anguish, but the real pressure of His soul bearing the enormous burden for sins. He was our substitute for sin. Jesus Christ was suffering the penalty for sin. And if a man is not saved, he's God forsaken forever in hellfire. But for all who accept Jesus Christ's work on the cross for sins, find reconciliation with God. All who trust Christ will never be abandoned because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And these are the words of our Lord upon the cross that broke the silence of His suffering and His humiliation since the time He was crucified. He suffered, endured the pain from the nails that thrust His hands and feet and secure Him to the cross. Joseph suffered when he was sent to Egypt. He suffered many years, at least 20 years, since he was a young boy. He was sent there. He was cast into prison. He served as a servant. He suffered much. He was betrayed, as it were, of confidence, in the sense that the baker went back on his words. And the butler too, after he has interpreted their dreams, he's forgotten them. Joseph suffered. As we see the picture of Joseph's life and all the turnaround that we see in the reunion between him and his brothers, it shows us the picture of Christ and that separation between Jacob and Joseph, between the father and the son. What joy they have in that union, in that relationship. And what distress in that separation. Today we are going to see the reconciliation. When it was time when Christ entered the final stage of his sacrifice, the peak of his suffering and separation from the Father, it is as if God turned the light off the nation of Israel. Darkness came upon all of Israel. And here the Lord wants us to see and understand that in the fullness of the time, when the reconciliation is done, the reunion will take place after Christ resurrected from the dead, appeared to his disciples for 40 days. He was ascended to heaven, now bodily, to be in fellowship and communion with the Father. Genesis 46 verse 1 describes that preparation of Jacob's reunion with his son Joseph. Verse 46 says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba." Where is Beersheba? It is the place that he would offer sacrifice unto the God of his father Isaac. It was the dwelling place, the home of the family. It was in Beersheba that God gave, you remember, peace to the family when Abimelech, the leader of the land, the chieftain, the tribal chief of the land, left them alone, allowed them to dig their wells and allowed them to dwell securely, safely in the land. Beersheba, the place of safety. Why did Jacob go to Beersheba? Well, because it was the covenant that he is being reminded from his father. Abraham, that they would dwell in the land. And this is the third generation. And now the famine is threatening. Is this covenant going to be broken? That now he has to go down to Egypt? Verse 46 says, Israel came to Beersheba to offer sacrifice to the God of his father in order to seek and understand the will of God. Lord, what is happening? Why this famine? And now my son is alive. And he has sent for me to go down to Egypt. Verse 2, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go. Fear not to go down to Egypt. I will be there to make thee a great nation. Here the Lord provided the guidance to Jacob Because the fear of God was in the heart of Jacob, to wait upon God. That was why he went to Beersheba, to seek the Lord and his face, to know the Lord's will. So this was a man of God. He understood the will of God. The fear of God was in his heart. He would not do anything rashly. God came to him in a vision to reveal his word, his will to Jacob. God allayed Jacob's fear. Fear not to go down to Egypt, the Lord says. Fear not to go down to Egypt. I will be there. I will be there. In other words, God will go with him. God will be with him. And God showed to him that it was his purpose for the family to go to Egypt. When we have understood God's will, he will also give us his grace to follow. I will go down with thee, verse 4, into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. So the Lord said to them that you're not going to go there on a permanent basis. You will go there and you will come back again. This is still the land of promise. The covenant has not been broken. And so the Lord assured Jacob, I will go down with thee. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagon which Pharaoh had sent to carry them. It was such a pleasant journey for the reunion. It was the best transport system available in their time. Pharaoh's own best chariots made available to bring the elderly Jacob to Egypt, the monarch of the ancient world, provided for him. It was in the midst of famine. God sends that chariot. You see how God takes care of his people? Our memory verse in Psalm 37, verse 17 to 18 to 19, says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Was it evil? Was it an evil time? Yes, it was the most difficult time. No food anywhere. 2 years into the famine, supplies were running out. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. The Lord's care for his people. The Lord wants us to know very surely. Why was Jacob called an upright man? As we see in the context of Psalm 37, because he is one who loved God and sought to follow God, serve him at all costs. That is why his name is called, changed to Israel, as highlighted in verse 1 of Genesis 46. The man who prevailed with God will also prevail with men. Right? In the midst of famine, here comes Pharaoh's chariot to bring him in a royal manner. Not only himself, but the entire family. Not one will be lost. All will be taken care of. This was the God we know. And he has orchestrated this reunion after so many years of separation. How the Lord accomplishes his redemption plan. This is just a mini act in the entire redemption plan that God would enact through human history, culminating in the coming of Christ. So the life of Joseph was a mini scene for us to see how Joseph was the deliverer for his family. But for him to be deliverer, he had to suffer great humiliation. He had to suffer great pain, separation, isolation, desolation, affliction. The will of God. Dear friends, as we look at the life of Christ, as we view the life of godly men who sought to walk in the will of God, let us be willing to trust God in the time of famine, in the time of affliction. Let us be willing to trust Him and to own Him and to have faith in Him. We thank the Lord for you who represent the Church of Jesus Christ, to say that the Lord will prevail against all odds. And the Lord wants us to see and help us to know that no plague will prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. And the people of God must be awakened to the battle of the day. You must be awakened to the call of the hour. Let us not withdraw. Let us not draw back. But let us realize our calling. And let us realize the work that God has for His people to do. A visible witness. And this was the witness that Joseph will have in bringing his entire family to Egypt. In the time of famine, God takes care. Is it a great crisis now? Well, let us say the Lord will take care. Is He the same God that took care of Joseph and took care of Jacob during the time of famine? It is the same God that will take care of us during the time of testing. Let us be willing to trust Him. Let us be willing to take hold of Him. Let us be willing to say, if I perish, I perish. What is this life? They can take the body, but they cannot take your soul. Do you realize that? They can take your body, but they cannot take your soul. And the people of God must realize that and not cower in fear. But trust the Lord. The Lord knows, and He cares for His own. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. God will take care. And the Lord wants us to have faith to trust in Him. And that was what Jacob did. He sought the Lord. Lord, there is no food left in the home. What do we do? There came the wagon, the chariot from Egypt. Oh, the greatest monarch of the earth, on the earth at that time, sent his entourage to usher him to the best land in Goshen, the best land in Egypt called Goshen. How God takes care. Can you understand it? The Lord wants us to understand it. All who trust in Him. And God took care of the entire family. Verse 8 to 27 describes the 66 members of Jacob's family who traveled down to meet Joseph's family of four, making 70. Reuben, four sons. Levi, three sons. Judah, five sons. Issachar, Dinah, and daughters of Leah, 33 souls. Gad, seven sons. Asher, six sons. And two grandchildren of Beriah, Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, 16 souls. Rachel, two sons. Benjamin, 10 sons. Joseph, two sons. Dan, one son. Naphtali, four sons. Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid. They are all included, none left out. And verse 30 gives to us the reunion between Jacob and Joseph. Verse 30 of our text. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." The reunion between Jacob and Joseph was a sweet one. God has allowed that separation to bring salvation to the entire family. When Jesus was sent to enter human history and to die on the cross as our sin bearer, the separation between the Father and the Son, when Jesus had to by Himself bear our sins, after the work of redemption, He rose from the dead, alive forevermore, before He is ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. The blessed reunion. No more separation. Jacob was comforted. It was an emotional moment. Joseph fell on his father's neck and wept on his neck for a good while. Fullness of joy overwhelmed Jacob and his son Joseph. What a happy occasion. Joseph was separated from his father, not for any wrong that he has done. We are reminded of the joy in the Godhead in our redemption. That joy between father and son in the reunion. How blessed was it? The Lord wants us to understand, to feel and know when we would repent of our sins and come back to Him. The prodigal son was separated from the father because he wanted his father's inheritance and went to live wantonly till he lost everything. Then he came back to the Father. The Bible tells us he came to himself. He came to himself and he picked himself up and he says, "In my Father's house, his servants live better than I do. I will now go to my Father," and said to him, "Let me be your servant." He came to himself. And what happened when he came to the Father? Well, the father killed the fatted calf, brought the coat, the ornament, to receive the son. Joseph, on the other hand, was doing the father's will when persecuted by his brothers. Nevertheless, God turned everything to good. The reunion. What a blessed picture that is painted for us. The picture of communion, of redemption, of reconciliation, that the Lord wants us to see in the life of Joseph and his father. And the Lord brought them to the best land, the best land in Egypt, Goshen. We thank the Lord that He has redeemed us to Himself. And we can enjoy that delightful relationship between ourselves and our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. Let us cherish it. Let us enjoy it. Let us be strengthened by it, and let us be an ambassador, be an ambassador for the Lord, to be in this ministry of reconciliation, that others who are estranged to God may find the way back, may find that union and communion and that redemption. How happy it is a role for us. We have enjoyed the good relationship we have with the Father, but there are others, other children of the Father who have gone astray. And Joseph forgave all his brothers and said to them, I forgive you. Come to the land. Bring all your families and you can live here for the next 5 years during the most severe time of the famine. How wonderful it is to be known as a child of God, a man of God, an upright man, a man whom God loves, a man who delights in the Father and receives delight from the Father. What a relationship, what a blessed union. May the Lord bless our hearts as we become a restorer, a nourisher, as God has equipped us, as God has blessed us. Let us do our part for His own honor and glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen Thy people by Thy Holy Spirit. Help us to understand and appreciate and enjoy and the blessed relationship we have in our communion with God, in our worship with Thee, in spite and despite all circumstances. May Thy people understand and learn of that joy of communion and worship, that they would not fear, but be willing to take a stand and stand up for Jesus and be counted to hold the fort in these troublous times. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.